I want you to look with me, please, the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 4, and I want to look in verse number 10. And I've got a thought, and I've been kind of wallowing it, trying to figure out which exact direction the Lord would have us to take it. But this has been the thought on my mind. Verse 10, and Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." Been on my mind now for several days. Much rubbish. Let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us, I pray, to rightly divide the word of truth. May we emphasize the direction and points you'd have us to, and Lord, may we pass by those things that would not be pleasing to you. Lord, we call more than we've studied, more than our experience, Lord, more than all the sum total of us, Lord, may you get glory and may you get preeminence now from the Word of God. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Thank you very much, and please be seated. There's a lot of things that we have in common with Nehemiah. I liken a lot of things that the church to Nehemiah's days. I've got a message I started preaching 20-something years ago when we went through and started preaching to the different churches about buying WGCR and what we believe God's plan was for GCR and what the Lord would have us to do. We preached out of chapter 3. I preached that message all over this country on the different gates, Nehemiah's gates, and all the different things we were hoping to do. And thankfully, we've got to see some of those things accomplished. They fit, and we've seen some of those things happen. But I can stand here 24 years later. 25 years have passed in the ministry. We're 26 years now. We're in the 26th year. I've actually been at Anchor 26 years now. Came, of course, spring of 84. Wasn't not the pastor, but came. But I can tell you this, there's much rubbish along the way. Much rubbish. Now think about what's happened. There's been a great city there. The city of Solomon, the city of David. Great city. And of course, those great stones that were hewn to make the city wall. For the days of concrete. They hadn't figured out concrete, so everything made out of blocks. And it's amazing that they could cut those blocks and stack those blocks like they could. It's pretty amazing. And it's amazing they still stand today. Part of the old city wall is still standing. Matter of fact, as far as I know, and I haven't, you, some of you historians, don't rebuke me now, but the last time those walls were stacked, I think, were by Nehemiah. As far as I know. Now, they may have been repaired, things changed. But point being, and I'm sure they've built on top of that. But what that says to me is what Nehemiah built is probably still under there. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. But what happened was when you know how this happened. The northern kingdoms, they had more wicked kings than good kings, and they provoked the Lord, and so God carried away those 10 northern tribes years before he did the southern two kingdoms. And that's where we get the split, Israel and Judah. In this period, we're talking about two different groups now. It's both Jews, but the two different groups. Israel, that's the 10 northern tribes. Judah is the two southern tribes. And so, who was it? Judah and Benjamin? Is that who the two southern tribes were? Judah and Benjamin. And the others were the northern tribes. Well, they were carried away by Syria. They were captured and carried away by Syria. Well, then Assyria was conquered and carried away by Babylon. And then Babylon came in and carried away the southern kingdoms. And so they've all been gone now for 70 years, the sum total of 70 years. The southern kingdoms have been gone 70 years. But God, in his great wisdom, it was the time of the Gentiles. The Gentiles did rule. The time of the Gentiles began with Nebuchadnezzar, and they began, those Gentile kings and those Gentile dominions begin to fall. And so God raised up the Medes and the Persians, the Iranians, to conquer the Iraqis, who were the Babylonians. And the Medes and the Persians, if you'll check it out, if you'll study it, they controlled all the way into India. If you don't believe that, read the first chapter of the book of Esther, and it'll tell you exactly where they controlled. All the way into India, and they controlled all of the known world. Well, it was under the Medes and the Persians that the king decided to, it would be better, and I think I shared this with you recently under another message, that I think it was under Zerubbabel. Who was I preaching about? Ezra or Zerubbabel 1. How that it wasn't that he was necessarily for the Jews, but he was a superstitious fella, and he was pantheistic. He believed in all the gods, and he was trying to make all the gods happy, all of them. He wanted to make all the gods happy. So he figured that he'd let some of the Jews go back, and they let them rebuild their temple, and it would be easier to control happy Jews than it would be unhappy Jews. Now, by the way, the only ones that were unhappy were the old ones. The young ones were totally thrilled to live in Babylon. Matter of fact, that's the language they spoke, and they were thrilled to live in Babylon. Only Grandpa knew anything about the old temple. Grandpa's the only one who knew anything about the old ways and the old life, and they were good with it. Sounds a lot like today. There's a group that knew what freedom was like, fought for it, bled for it, died for it, and knew what it was. There's a group now that don't know what freedom was, just used to bowing to the government and letting it go, and just used to the government controlling every aspect of your life, and don't even bat eyes, don't even bother to vote. You know, a lot of our young people have not registered to vote. And so, you know, don't care to vote because, well, I'm okay. I'm in good shape. Well, so there's some parallels. There's some things that are similar. But Nehemiah, he gets word. He is a cupbearer. He's got him a good job. He's cupbearer to the king. And he gets word that the gates are burned and the city walls, those big old stones, are torn down. And they'd already tried to rebuild a portion of the temple. But the truth of the matter is they couldn't get anything accomplished on the temple because they didn't have no walls surrounding it. And of course, there had been a lot of controversy over that whole mess. So in order to get that thing really where people could live in it, to make it really be a city and have that temple as the focus point of the city, or the focal point, you had to get some walls up to keep the marauders from coming through and getting everything you had and all the rest. So each city was almost like a little country. They were almost like little city-states. And the towns, the cities had its own little armies, and they would defend. They'd close the gates at night, and they kept out all the intruders, and there was law and order in the cities. So that was all gone because the walls were broken down and the gates were burned with fire. And so, not going to take time to go all down through all of this, but if you want to outline the chapter 2, just look at some things here. I want you to look at the burden. The burden. What do you do when the work is hindered by much rubbish? What do you do when the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed? That's where we are. I'm telling you, I've taken the pulse of the New Testament church. Let me tell you exactly where we are. You've heard there's been a lot of water under the bridge. There's been a lot of garbage under the bridge. Problem is, it didn't go under the bridge. If you go travel the third world, they don't know anything about litter control. I mean, it used to be that way around here. I remember whatever pull-off used to have an old car off a bank, used to have several old washing machines, and people throw their trash out. Every place is a wide place. That's the way it was. But the one thing about it, mountain people typically would take it out behind the house and pile it up. Now, some would keep it in the house with them, but you go to third world, son, they'll just walk between it. Matter of fact, I've never seen anything like it. They're the nastiest, you know, it just heap it up. Well, there's been a lot of rubbish in the New Testament church over the past quarter century. A lot of stuff. And there's been a lot of strength that's been lost. A lot of the burden bearers. Now, I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about. Tonight, the Wednesday night crowd, this is your burden bearers. This is the crowd that does most of the praying, most of the attending, most of the giving. This crowd, this is it right here. But I'm telling you, the church is getting older as a whole. I'm not talking about Anchor. I'm talking about the whole church is getting older. Average age is getting older. And the strength is getting decayed because of much rubbish. Now, tell the truth. How many of you have not heard one of the young people come up and say, you know, they're in the rah, rah, rah mode, and they say, "Preacher," or you come up to you and they say, "Let's do this and this and this and this and this." And you go, "Well, son, you just don't realize." And you fill in the blank. "Son, we tried that one time. And been there, done that, and..." Huh? You with me? Now, I love to be around young people. And I love young preachers. Especially them that's got some zip about them. Because they remind me of a little beagle pup. And they're just all tongue and ears. And slobbered. And "Preacher, let's do something. Let's run a rabbit. Let's run a squirrel. Let's run a fox. Let's run something. Oh, let's do something." And if you ain't careful, old dog, tired, you know, laying on the porch, a little one come up and he'll start slobbering and flopping him ears all over the place. The next thing, old big one, whoop, and nip him. "Sit down, shut up, boy. Got time to fool you." Huh? Amen or oh me. Let me just tell you this. Let me say something to the old dogs. Hey, fellas, there's something to be said for the old guard. But you got to remember, we were the young pups. We were the whippersnappers one time, and we were the ones bouncing around wanting to do something for God. And we had that generation that snipped at our heels. Remember that? And God knows we've got enough old dogs to give things plenty of good foundational support. What we need is some young guys we need some young guys that don't know how hard it's going to be. We need a group of young men that ain't had the snot beat out of them 17 different ways from Sunday. Pardon the expression. Hello? We need some young guys that ain't been beaten back black and blue all over their body multiple times trying to do something. Yeah. Just like we were. Just like we did. They say, they'll learn. Trust me, they'll learn. But it takes some spitterinctum to keep this thing going. Hey. Some can ride. It's like a great big old bicycle. You seen these bicycles built for two? Try a bicycle built for, 72. Now, granted, some can coast, but unto God, somebody's got to pedal every now and then. Are you listening to me? Unless you plan on an all downhill run, somebody's got to pedal. You say, "Well, I'm going to be the brake man. I'm going to be back here and keep a brake on." Well, unto the Lord, everybody in the church wants to keep a brake on. Somebody go after, it's one thing to ride the brake downhill. Quit riding the brake. We're going uphill. Honestly. Put a little effort in. Pedal. Hello? Is this thing working? I thought it'd quit. That's good preaching, Barton, if you did do it. All right, thanks, sir. Okay. Now, I'm preaching to myself because I'm there. Sure. Boy, when you start talking about taking on new things and new debts and new... Ooh, it ain't near as exciting as it used to be. Now, I'll just be fair to you. And we used to say, Well, praise God, we'll just launch out and we'll let, hey, the Lord's coming, we'll let the Antichrist pay for it. Well, he didn't show. And we're still making them payments. Quarter century payments, and we're still making them payments. Even so, come quickly. No, now we're about ready, but now we're about don't want the Lord to come because we about got it paid for now, you know. We're good now, Lord. We can see the end, we can see the light in the tunnel now. We're good. We're all right now. Well, how do you do that, preacher? How do you renew your strength? How do you get by with much rubbish? How do you make all come all this together? Well, to look at it, I think we ought to flip back to chapter number 2. And we've got to see the reason the work continued in spite of the strength of the burden bearers being decayed and in spite of much rubbish. Nehemiah had a burden. He had a burden to go before the kings, verse 1 and verse 2. He appeared before the king. By the way, it was a dangerous thing. He wasn't invited. And he went in on his daily routine, and he could go because he's a cupbearer. But it was against the law for him to frown. Good or bad, if his mama died, he still had to smile in the presence of the king. It was against the law to frown in the presence of the king. And he went in and frowned. And he did it on purpose, knowing it could cost him his life. And it just so happened that God in mercy allowed the king to say, "What's the matter, Nehemiah? You don't look so good today." He could have easily set off with his head. But instead he said, "Off with your burden. What's wrong?" And so his appearance before the king, his attitude toward the king, he said, "How can I be happy with Jerusalem lying in waste like it is? How could I be happy with that?" And so there was the burden that he carried. And so that's number one, how you get in a day when your strength is decayed and there's much rubbish. There's that burden that you got to have a burden. You got to have a fresh burden. You got to have a renewed burden. You got to maintain that burden. Secondly, he wasn't looking for something in his own strength. He was looking for a blessing. So there's the burden that he carried, but there's also the blessing that he coveted. He knew he couldn't do it. He was a cup bearer. Cup bearers may know something about table etiquette. Cup bearers may know something about state dinners, but cup bearers typically don't know much about construction. Cup bearers typically don't know much about warfare. Cup bearers typically don't know that much about diplomacy. Yet on the other hand, think about what I'm going to tell you. The greatest man in all the world at the time, every time he sat down to a meal with his generals, guess who was sitting to the right? Nehemiah. And he heard the best battle plans of all of the greatest army that ever, of the time, he heard it all discussed. When the foreign emissaries came in, when the diplomats came in, and they discussed diplomatic channels and diplomatic, guess who was listening? Guess who sat right there? And the king would say, "Nehemiah, I believe I'll try some of that chicken. Is that chicken? Let me try some of that chicken." Nehemiah would get it, cut it, take a piece, put it in his mouth, go, "Pretty good, king." And he'd cut it up and hand it to the king. He took a bite of everything to make sure it wasn't poison, to make sure that he didn't drop dead. He ate the food before the king ate it. He's right there. If the king was eating, he was there. So think about what I'm telling you. He didn't have any practical experience, but yet he had been trained at the hand of the great generals. He had been trained at the hand of the great diplomats. He had been trained in face-to-face with, he knew all of the foreign heads of state. He knew all of them. He'd had dinner with them. He was like a fly on the wall, true. But he had listened and he had learned. But he wasn't trusting in what he had listened and learned, my friend, but rather he was trusting in something different. He was trusting that God would do something. The Bible says in chapter 4, verse number 2, he said, "What do you want?" The king said, "What do you want?" And he said, "So I prayed to the God of heaven. I see the blessing that he coveted." Now, I won't take time to break it all down, but I see in verse 5, he wanted liberty. He said, I need a leave of absence. King, I need to go see to this thing. I need liberty to serve. Lord, would you send me? That's pretty strong, isn't it? Well, who's going to eat my food? Who's going to taste my food? You trusted man. King, I got to go. Secondly, he didn't. Boy, I like this man. Because he didn't come in here and just off a cuff. Son, he knew exactly what he wanted. King, I want liberty to serve. Secondly, King, I want letters for safety. I ain't no match for them devils between here and yonder. It's a long way. I need to have a dispatch from the king. They touch me, they touch you. I ain't about to head out across the Arabian desert by myself. I need to go as an official emissary of the king of Persia. I want a letter to the governors beyond the river that they may convey me over till I come to Judah. He said, I want a bodyguard. I want official passage. And then number 3, he done had it figured. He said, here's my list of supplies. Here's what's going to take. I've been thinking about it, and here's what's going to take. I need some wood from the forest, timber for the gates, the wall of the city, the house I shall enter into. And the Bible says, and the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. He began it saying he couldn't do it. He said, I prayed to the God of heaven. He listed what he needed. He needed liberty. He needed letters. And he needed everything on his list. And he closed it by saying, and the good hand of God was on me. Does that sound like he is cocky and relying on himself? No, sir. He was relying on God. Let me tell you something. Listen, church, listen carefully. We ain't never relied on self. We ain't never had nothing to rely on. God has kept this congregation small and broke for 25 years. Why, I'm not sure. I've often wondered that very question. So can I say we trusted God when we started, and the way you get through much rubbish and the decaying of strength is that you just keep on trusting Him. And you keep on asking God for His blessing. Hey, doesn't mean you don't draw blueprints. He had blueprints. Doesn't mean that you don't, you know, have a list. Praise God. I hope you pray Him over a list. I hope you name things to the Lord. I hope you get detailed with things. Hope you do. Don't just pray for the missionaries. Pray for their needs. Don't just pray for the mission ministry down here. Pray for the needs of the mission ministry. I mean, get specific. Give God a list. Somebody said, well, God already knows. Yeah. He did know. But what if he had said to the king, king said, what do you want? And he had said, well, God knows. You reckon he'd have got what he needed? He didn't hesitate. I don't see him hiccuping a bit here. He lit in, told him what he needed. I got some needs, and this is what I need, and if I'm going to do what I want to do, this is what I'm going to need to do. And so there's the burden he carried, that'll get you through. There's the blessing he coveted, that'll get you through. Now here's one I'm just going to throw in on the side. This is not a positive one. This is a negative note, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. But I just tell you this. You declare war against things as they are, and it will cause some bad blood. Now you can bet that's right. It'll cause you some bad blood. Just as sure as you declare war on the status quo, things as they are, it's going to cause problems. always does. I pity these young preachers that go into these churches all fired up, facing an old mossy back deacon board. Bless their little hearts. I hurt for them because I know what they're fixing to get. I know. Well, son, we've done it this way since my grandpappy was a pup. And I reckon if he's good enough for him, he's good enough for us. Yeah, but Grandpa carried a kerosene lamp and used an outhouse. We ain't doing exactly the way Grandpa used to. Just because things, hey, I'm not talking about compromise. I'm just talking about there's some folks, it's just change. It'll cause problems. The Bible says in verse 10, and then Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, and it grieved them exceedingly that there was a man come to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. It made some stinking mad. You can mark that down. And it will. It will. You take on status quo. You try to charge folks' batteries. You try to rake back the rubbish. You try to recharge the people whose strength is decayed. And it will cause you heartache and heartbreak every single time that you do it. Rest assured. But then number four, there is the battle that he contemplated. One night he got out and he got him a mule. Didn't tell nobody where he was, didn't tell anybody. Come into town and he rode around the wall, spent all night riding the wall of Jerusalem. And it got so bad there were times there was so much junk he couldn't even ride around it. He had to get out and lead the mule. He couldn't even ride because there was so much stuff in the way. And he went around that thing. And he said, I got a plan. Now you see, those big old stones were laying off, turned upside down, or turned over on their side. And so to a lot of folks, that looks like something in the way. And that looks like an obstacle. But you see, Nehemiah looked at it and he said, well, that one looks like it used to set on top of that one. And rather than looking at much rubbish, he said, I got a prefab wall laying here. I just got to figure out what order to put it back together with. You know, I believe if I take that one right yonder and set it on top of that one right there, look at there. I believe it'll fit. And look at this. While this over here, I believe this used to go over there. And yep, and look at this. Now the edge of this one's broke, but look, right over there it lays. Yep, 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 we fix that. Have you ever thought about that all the building material, and I'm talking about the stone that Nehemiah used, there's no reference anywhere of quarrying any stone. The only thing they did was replace the wood for the gates and the beams. All the stones were used. And I'm sure every one of them showed wear and tear where they had been knocked over, where the battles had been fought. I'm sure the corners were broke off. I'm sure they had cracks and scars and bruises. Does that sound like anybody you know? Does that sound like the burden bearers that you know? But rather than looking and saying, hey, looked like a bunch of rubbish to me. The Lord Jesus looks down from heaven and says, hey, that looks like my church. Because I know where this one goes and that one goes, and I've got that thing prefabbed. And right now I got this little group over here and this one over here, but when I put her all together in heaven, she's going to be just right. Sure. God's got a plan. We just ain't seen it yet. One of my favorite illustrations is my grandma used to lap quilt. And she'd take and do things on her lap. You know what lap quilting is? Don't do that much anymore. She'd have a little hoop. She put this little wooden hoop around it and she would And she'd do all this little finery and little stitching and stuff, and she'd do all this stuff. She used to use little doilies and things before her eyes got bad. Well, when I was a young'un, I'd play on the floor, and I was always down there in my cars and stuff, and Grandma would come in and sit in her chair, and she would do them things. And I'd play around the old warm morning heater, and I'd look up, and I'd think, poor old Grandma sure is getting senile. That is an awful, ugly mess she's a-making. I think she's just putting pieces of thread in that thing and cutting them off and letting them hang. It looks like spaghetti, 47 different colors of spaghetti noodles hanging down. That's ugly. That's nasty looking. Poor old Grandma, she must not have nothing better to do. Poor old Grandma, she must not have a clue. Until one day I got up in her lap and just happened to look. And you know what was wrong? I'd been looking at the underside of that thing all the time. All I saw was the naughty side. All I saw was the terminated side, the clip side. That's all I saw was the bad side. That side didn't show anyhow. Son, she had a pretty design on the top. Matter of fact, a piece of art. It's just that I wasn't looking at it from her perspective. She knew all the time what she was a-making. And it just looked like so much rubbish to me. May I submit to you tonight, we're looking from the naughty side up. We're looking up at it and we ain't yet seen what God's got planned for this outfit. We have yet to see from God's perspective what she's all going to look like. But you bet one thing, he's not going to make no junk. He said he's going to present himself a spotless, chaste church. How's he going to do that, preacher? Well, it's yet to be seen, but I will tell you this. I don't want to be one of the ones that goes out of here and tell between my legs. Now, there's a battle, there's a plan. But may I say in the midst of it all. Talking to a man yesterday. Most people would say right now is the worst time to even think about going in debt or buying something. Would most people agree with that right now? It's a terrible time to do that. Most people would say that. Talked to a man yesterday who invests in land for a living. You know what he told me? He said you can buy undeveloped tracts of land right now for 10 cents on the dollar. He said a $2 million tract is bringing $200,000 if you've got the cash. And he said, if you got the cash, you better not wave it in front of somebody. He said, they'll knock you down. He said, if you don't mean it, don't offer it, because said they'll knock you down, get it out of your hand. I said, are you buying? He said, nope. I'm just hanging on and waiting to see how much further she's going to go. 3% interest rates. Things dropping. When's the last time you knew you could buy something? When's the last time you knew you could buy an active solvent business for tax value? I know where one's at. The asking price is tax value. When's the last time that happened in Transylvania County? Not lately. Do you understand that some men's obstacles are other men's opportunities. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. Who could have paid what things would have cost? Hey, and look at the interest. And all I could, he said, but preacher, I'm just telling you forever, everything you can tell me on a negative, forever black side, forever negative side, forever poor story you can tell, I can tell you one on the other side. And by the way, just so you'll know, money don't evaporate. Oh, there ain't no money. There's just as much money as there ever was. People just ain't turning loose of it. It didn't evaporate. Okay? The money didn't get raptured. Okay? It's still around. It says there ain't nobody turning loose of it. So, but I got good news. God's not in recession. I bet you, and when you get Sanballat and Tobiah over here running their mouths, when you get the burden bearers are weak and the rubbish is everywhere and the trash man ain't run in 70 years, and I mean, I can give you all sorts of reasons why he ought to have packed up, went back to the palace, got the cup, and have lived his life out happily ever after. But he didn't. And the Bible said he came to them and he told the people, verse 18 of chapter 2, "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me." And I like this. "And they said," whoopee, wasn't Nehemiah doing the talking, "and they said, let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Verse number 20. He said, "The God of heaven," even when they laughed at him, he said, "The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we as servants will arise and build." But he also said something for the bunch that was against it. He said, "But ye shall have no portion, no right, no memorial in Jerusalem." We're going to build it, but you ain't got no part in it. So there is the building that he completed. Let me tell you what will get a man out of the doldrums is to see something accomplished. Why do you think I get up here and read these reports? Why do you think I spend time on this stuff? Why do you think I get up here Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, and go over and over and over the blessings of the week and what God has done? Why do you think I do that? Did I tell you Joel went to Vannies and preached the seven sayings of the cross and had 12 precious souls saved? Somebody said, "How many do you have saved Easter, preacher?" Had 12. What an Anchor Baptist Pisgah Forest is Anchor Baptist Legaspi, guest speaker Joel Harado, preaching for Giovanni Solaris, 12 saved. House was packed. What's that worth? Hallelujah. What's that worth? I say glory. I say still a little heaven to go to heaven on. You say, "But preacher, there's been so much junk go on." Well, it's going to be a whole lot more junk go on. "But preacher, look at all the stuff that's in the way." Just figure out which block goes on where. And as you clean it up, move it, fix, put it back together, prefab it, use it. By the way, God didn't have perfection when he built this church originally. And he still don't. Most of us has got a corner broke off here yonder about. Most of us has got scars and marred places and defects that we just soon not talk about. But the good thing of it is, if you ever get it in its place. Now, by the way, if you get one that don't belong where, if it's not where it ought to be, and it's got a little something wrong with it, it's going to give trouble. But if you ever get it in the right place where it fits, where it's right, and you can just get it back where it used to be and get it back on its resting, get it on it sitting on its own bottom. If you can ever get that, far as we know. Now, I just got to thinking, did they, AD 70, they tore the temple down, but I don't know they tore the walls down, the Romans. I know they tore the temple down. But did you know it's interesting that they couldn't carry them big old rocks far, Solomon's stones? They didn't carry them far. They couldn't have. It's too big. Do you understand that Solomon's entire temple is still underneath that mound? Bound to be. Got to be. Where could they have done with them? Throw them in their Mediterranean? No. They're still under there. And whether they're standing or not, Nehemiah's stones are still under there. I guarantee they are. The very stones that he handled are still under there. Yes, sir. And let me tell you what's neat. There's a tribulation temple going to be built right on the top of that. Fulfill God's plan prophecy? Yes, sir. Right on top of Nehemiah's wall, right on top of Solomon's temple, right, they're going to, yes, sir. Mark her down. And all of that, you say, but preacher, look at all the defeat. Yeah, but I know how the thing ends. Because the Lord of glory comes and inhabits that temple himself. Not his smoke, not his Shekinah, but the God of heaven comes and inhabits that thing. And I say, bless his name. That's the way it is about his church. A lot of faults and failures, a lot of decayed strength along the way, and a lot of rubbish in the way of the work. But by God's grace, the scripture says, but they had a mind to build. Let us rise and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Church, do you believe this is a good work? Here, I'm talking about locally. Do you believe this is a good work? Do you believe here Anchor is a good work? Do you? How much do you believe it? Well, if we really believe it, let's rise and build. In spite of the decayed strength and in spite of much rubbish, let's rise and build to the glory of God.